Hey everybody, Darren Garmin here with Trot.
Hey Darren, how are you?
Hi Trot.
What's going on today?
It is a real estate value day today, Trot. Real estate value day. But before we get into not only real estate values, but did Trump lie about the values of his properties? We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about how you can maybe figure this out yourself if this did indeed happen. And we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. So before we jump into real estate values, especially when it comes to the former president, let's go ahead and make sure that everybody knows that we want to welcome them to the Heartland Multifamily Show, the place.
For all things multifamily.
For all things multifamily. And yeah, we're talking about real estate value. So the big news as of recent in the real estate world is not actually about what's going on with real estate economically, occupancy, property foreclosure. I mean, nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with Trump's real estate values, and did he lie about his real estate values? Everything from his commercial properties, Trot, you know, all of the holdings, all the way to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, all of that. Did he lie about those values? And as you and I are recording this and having a conversation about this, a judge, pretty sure it was a judge. It wasn't a jury, right? Pretty sure it was a judge.
It was a judge, yeah.
Yeah, it was a judge. And if I remember, at least what I've heard, I don't really think that the judge and Donald Trump really got along.
That's the rumor on the street.
But be that as it may, that's a surprise. Be that as it may, at the end of the day, a judge decided that Trump lied about the values of his properties and inflated the value of his properties in order to get financing, pretty much, in order to get more financing or basically be able to borrow more money, right? I mean, am I right about that, Trot?
Yeah, the part I don't know, you know, was he borrowing against the current property, you know, that he already owned, or was he refinancing that? I'm not sure.
Yeah, was he using it as collateral? Probably was using it as collateral.
Right. That's
somehow
my guess too.
How was he using it? Was he refinancing and paying a loan off or pulling money out to do something? We don't know about that. It's a good point. But it might have something a little bit to do with what we're talking about. But when this really started to bubble up, when this was really starting to gain a lot of momentum in the media, by the way, we started getting not necessarily a lot of questions about it. We had a few, but we were starting to have some dialogue about this in terms of property values. And you know, how do people come up with the value anyway? Where does that come from? We assume it's appraised by somebody. How does that happen? How can somebody be off hundreds of millions of dollars over here versus over here? How does that happen? And so let's dive into that a little bit. Let's talk about, based on what we're going to reveal to you on this episode, did Trump lie about his property values? Did he inflate his property values? Let's talk about that. All right, we are back. And Trot, why don't you start by telling everybody what usually happens in terms of an appraisal on a property once a lender is involved? Bank, credit union, it doesn't really matter. What usually happens when an appraisal is ordered, let's call it?
Well,
talk about who orders the appraisal and why do they order it? Talk about that.
The bank is the one that always orders the appraisal.
Okay, so I want to stop you right there because it's very important. Because a lot of people don't know this. When an appraisal is done on a property and financing is involved, I'm refinancing, I'm going to pull money out, I'm going to pay a loan out, whatever, when a bank or a credit union is involved, right? It's not the owner that orders the appraisal. Okay, so a lot of people think, I mean, we've talked to people. A lot of people think that Trump ordered these appraisals and it's Trump appraisals that came in and the appraisals. No, that's not how the process works, right? Go ahead and say that again, Trot.
Well, the bank or the lender orders the appraisal.
Right. Why is that? Why does the bank or the credit union or, you know, big commercial lender Why did they order the appraisal?
I think to avoid the bias that the owner, let's say they know, you know, Joe down the road, he's an appraiser. They want to avoid that bias. There's no link between the two directly of, hey, you know, fudge these numbers up a little bit, or hey, you've been we've ordered your service 10 million times, you know, we've made you a lot of money, you know, give us a little bit better value. They try to avoid all of that. So there's no fudging in the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. Nice job with that. And I'll just reiterate that when an appraisal's ordered, it's not the owner that orders it because of a possible conflict of interest there. I mean, so, you know, you look at Trump. You know, Trump's not going to order the appraisals himself because, I mean, being a former president and having the real estate background that he does, you know, there's going to be some pressure, let's just say, on an appraiser to really come up with the values that Trump is looking for, right? And that happens not only in the world of Trump, hundreds of millions of dollars, all the way down to, you know, Joe Spadotz owning an 8-unit building and the same kind of thing.
Right.
So it's all the same. Okay. And so when the bank orders the appraisal and the appraisers, with the agency relationship that the appraiser has with whomever orders the appraisal, the appraiser should be acting on using the best interest of whoever orders the appraisal, which is, as you said, the bank or credit union. So in other words, the appraiser is doing the appraisal for the bank or the credit union, not for whom?
The owner.
The owner.
Or the buyer, whoever
it
may be.
And a lot of people don't know that. So whenever we go and we finance a property, we want to refinance our own property, or we're closing on a project tomorrow, who orders the appraisal?
The bank did.
The lenders do. So the first thing to understand about this, were the values overinflated or not, first thing to understand is it's not Trump or Trump's kids or whatever that ordered the appraisal, it's a bank that ordered the appraisal. And the appraiser should be working for the bank, the big banks, credit unions, whoever it was, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And we can tell you from experience, sometimes we're disappointed that that's the case, right?
Right.
Because sometimes the values come in lower than what we think they should be coming in at. And this is when we typically are refinancing one of our properties, is when we have this happen. And we think our property's worth $5 million. And we're kind of thinking, well, based on that, we're going to refinance and whatever we're going to do with those proceeds. You know, all of a sudden the appraisal comes in at $4.8 million. I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? Well, that's because they, being the appraiser, are working for the bank. They're not working for us. On the other side of that, if we're going to sell one of our properties, let's say we're going to sell and reinvest our proceeds in another property. So let's say we're going to sell a 36 unit property and reinvest those proceeds in a 72 unit property. Okay. Well, if we sell that for $3 million and the appraisal comes in at $2.8 million, do you think whomever's buying our property is not going to say, Darren, guess what? Your property appraised for $200,000 less than what we all kind of thought. So we need to have a conversation back at the negotiating table about that. Do you think I'm going to be happy if the appraiser comes in at that value?
Nope.
No way. So these are at least some things in play here when we're talking about whether Trump lied or inflated the value of his properties. Okay, so that's part one. Trot, anything you want to add to what we've covered so far with that point?
Well, I mean, even aside from an appraisal, when we're doing deals, the bank directly asks us for, you know, rent rolls and 2-3 years of P&Ls to get, you know, a real idea. So outside of the appraisal, they do their own due diligence as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. So let's go to part two, because that's a really good segue to part two of this. So what usually happens is once an appraiser is engaged, you know, they're hired, they're engaged to do the appraisal, they're going to start pulling information on the properties to put their appraisal together. So with income property, for example, not surprisingly, they want what you said. They want a schedule of rents. What are each of the office suites renting for? What are each of the storage units renting for? What are each of the apartments renting for? Okay, so they're going to want to take a look at that income information that's coming in. And not usually just 6 months of income or a year's worth of income. Like you said, usually at least a year, maybe 2 years at least of a income track record coming in of that property, right? That's what we usually see. If the appraiser's any good, has experience, that's what they're going to do. And then on the expense side of things, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to check the expenses. What are the taxes? What are the insurance? What are the maintenance costs? What are the utility costs? What are they paying for payroll? Those kinds of things. And are they just going to have like 2 or 3 months of that?
No, no.
They're going to want at least a year or two, usually at least a couple of years of that information. So when they go through that process, they are requesting information. And with commercial property, it's usually, you know, what tenants are paying in rent and how long have they been in there and how long is their lease and those kinds of things. When it comes to residential, it's usually kind of the same thing. Tenant, rent, how long is their lease, that kind of thing. And then on the expense side of things, they go through a process there. Let me ask you this question, okay? Appraisers got the information. They've got the rent rolls. They've got the lease information. They've got all this together. They finally got all the information together, whether it's from tax returns or, you know,
P&Ls,
profit and loss statements. Yep. And then again, usually it covers at least a couple of years worth of time. So once they've got all this put together and they're working on their appraisal, before we go into that, let me just mention one quick thing for our listeners and viewers. If it's a property that is not an income producing property, because we've talked about so far income producing properties, if it's not an income producing property, it's a vacant lot. It's Mar-a-Lago. I don't know if Mar-a-Lago produces an income. Maybe it does. Maybe they rent it out. I don't know. But if it's a property that doesn't necessarily produce or built to produce income, they'll use a comparison approach. So in other words, this 120,000 square foot office building across the street sold for this per square foot. That means your building is worth this per square foot. You follow me? That's pretty much how it works, to maybe oversimplify it a little bit. Or the lot across, you know, a quarter mile away, that's 2 acre lot, sold for $200 a square foot. So that probably means your lot's worth maybe $210 a square foot. Okay, so that's the comparison approach. So that's probably not so much a surprise to you if you're watching or listening on how an appraiser would come up with that. Using their experience, using their school, what they've learned, using their background, and pulling the comparables, that's where they're gonna come up with values there. But let's get back now, back to the ranch. Okay, back to the income approach. Trav, how does that process work?
Well, you know, we would provide the P&Ls, the rent rolls, the expense reports, everything to the appraiser. The appraiser gets them, and rather than taking them at face value, they do their own sanity check. So they run the expenses and throughout their schooling, their history in
probably their experience, you know.
Yeah, sure. They look at it and kind of compare it to something, you know, that they worked on before and see, you know, well, you know, this month it looks like the water bill was, whoa, 10 mm-hmm. times the amount it should be, you know, right. And they put a question mark on it and see, you know, why or mm-hmm. where. They just do that so, you know, the seller or the owner is not fudging numbers as well. They use kind of their previous knowledge to give a basis on whether this is legit or not.
Yeah, and so your point is, and we get this question quite a bit too. When the appraisers get their information, it's not just like they take it all at face value and say, okay, boom, here's the information, here's the appraisal. No, they go through like a litmus test and kind of a sanity check, like you said, in terms of, okay, based on what I've learned as an appraiser, based on my experience in appraising similar kind of properties, based on my years of doing this and looking at this total package, does this make sense? And if it doesn't, then the appraiser starts trying to find out why. What's going on? What's the situation? What's happening? Why does this look different? Why the other properties that are worth $8 million, why does this seem to be worth $15 million? So that process happens. By the way, that should happen, because that's what's supposed to happen with appraisers, again, not working for the owner. Who are they working for?
The banks or the lender.
The banks or the lender. So there's a process of a sanity check, kind of a final review that they do when they go through that process. Because, I mean, you and I have had conversations with appraisers after they've gotten numbers from us, or maybe we're buying a property, we've moved those numbers over to them, that the sellers, and they're like, well, I'm not quite sure, why is it this, and why is this that, and what's going on here? Because that's what they're paid to do. Again, not for us, but for
the lenders.
The lender. Okay, so, you know, kind of coming full circle here, there's a lot of work that goes on to come up with these values, okay, that appraisers use in order to come up with value. So it's really hard. It's not impossible, of course, but knowing that, it's really hard to inflate property value when you've got appraisers involved in the process, okay? Now, one thing you can always do is, if I'm filling out my financial statement and I know that my property is worth $2 million, but I put $7 million down for a value, well, you know, that's probably not.
But again, but that's why they have these steps in place.
That's right. That's exactly where I was going. So I fill out my financial statement. Here's my assets. Here's my liabilities. I hand it over to you. What do lenders do once they get that?
Their due diligence and hire an appraiser.
They check it out. That's right. They check it out. You know, any lender that I've worked with, if I hand them my financial statement, they're not going to look at it and say, oh, okay, gee, thanks. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's get a loan done now. No, they're not. They're going to, like you said, do their due diligence. And so you and I, at the end of the day, were really surprised, knowing what we know in the background of this and knowing everything that you've got to go through to finally come up with the value of a property. And look, nothing's impossible, okay? But you and I were surprised that the judge found that Trump had not just a little, but massively inflated the value of his properties. We're like, really? How does that happen? Because we know what has to go on in the background in order to come up with those values.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, in terms of whether you think that's the case, you know, those listening or watching, I mean, you're free to form your own opinion, obviously. And this isn't necessarily a podcast that tells you what opinion you should have. That's not what we're doing either. But what we're saying is, hey, to inflate values and have it get to the point of where you're having this conversation in a courtroom, I mean, you really, I'm like, I don't know how that could even happen because of what we know and what we deal with in the background of things. Try, you got any last kinds of comments or maybe input or feedback on this at all?
Well, I do think something is very, very interesting about the whole outside of the value and how do you get the value? How does this happen?
Yeah.
You know, the parties involved all testified in Trump's favor. And somehow the judge still ruled against him. So I don't particularly understand it.
So let me interrupt you. You're saying that the bank, those that had skin in the game here, whether it's banks or whatever, they testified and said, oh, we think everything's just fine.
Yes.
Right?
Correct.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's true. But they still said, you know, you're still inflated your property values.
Yep. Right.
Man. Yeah. Sounds pretty interesting to me. We're buying a property here in a couple of days for what, $6.7 million, I think, is what we're paying for this. Maybe it's worth like $21 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, so Trot, any last words on this?
Oh, that's all I got.
No, I mean, good job today, by the way, with the information. And I think if anything, what we've accomplished on this episode of the Heartland Multifamily Show is giving you at least an idea of kind of what goes on behind the scenes in terms of appraisers, appraisals, what do they do, kind of what's their process. And we didn't break it down, you know, into a 5-session, online learning process or a course to take. No, we didn't go that deep into this, but based on what we shared with you, it gives you an idea of typically what's involved, what goes on behind the scenes in order for anyone to really get to a point where they're being, the fingers being pointed at them, that they've inflated property values. Right.
Right.
So, Trot, thank you.
Thank you.
Good job, good information. And we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Heartland Multifamily Show, the place
for all things multifamily.
For all things multifamily. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this video and you want to make multifamily a bigger part of your investing world, make sure you click here on this video to discover the 3 easy ways to invest in and own your own multifamily property.